Okay, so just a brief introduction to Maseches Yadayim. People get a little bit intimidated by Yadayim just because it's in Seder Taharas, but the truth of the matter is that Yadayim is pretty straightforward. It's very small, it's only 22 Mishnayos long, and as long as you have a couple of basic background details, the Masechta is pretty straightforward. So let's start with this. Let's start with the differences between Chulin, Chuma, and Kachan. We know that if you have a farmer who grows grain in Eretz Yisrael, he harvests the grain, he brings it into his silo, he threshes it, then he winnows it, then he levels off the top of the pile. Now he's left with a great big pile of grain. This great big pile of grain that he has right now in front of him is Tevel. What that means is that it's forbidden for him to eat because he has not taken off the Matanos that he's supposed to be giving to the Kohen, to the Levi, Chumas Maestros. So he takes a look at this great big pile of grain. Now he takes off a little portion of it as truma. He puts it aside. That's going to go to the Kohen. That's truma gedola. Then he takes off, let's say, a tenth from this pile that he's left with. From the tenth, he takes aside. He puts it aside for the Levi. That's Maaser Rishon, the first Maaser that he takes off. Maaser from a Lashon of Eser, from a Lashon of its one tenth. Fine. There are a couple of other Maasers also. But once he's done taking off Chumas and Maasers, what's he left with? He's left with a pile of grain. This pile of grain is now fit for consumption. And we call this pile of grain Chulin. It is perfectly kosher, acceptable food to be eaten by any Jew. The Truma has to be dropped off at the Kohen's house. The Kohen can eat it. Now, Truma has a status of Kedusha, and the Kohen has to eat that in a state of Tahara, or the people of his household can eat it if they're in a state of Tahara. But that's the difference. Chulin is regular, run-of-the-mill, kosher food that has had the necessary matanos taken off, and it can be eaten by a Jew, by any Jew. It doesn't have to be eaten necessarily in the state of Tahara, but Truma is a higher level of Kedusha, and that's given to the Kohen, has to be eaten in the state of Tahara. Fine. Now, for Kachim, we know that if you offer a carbon in the base of Mikdash, so either you can offer an animal, a kosher domesticated animal, a goat, a cow, a sheep, they can be offered as karbanos, or you can offer a mincha. Karban mincha is another example of kachim. That's a flour offering that you bring to the base of Mikdash. We know that when you bring an animal, let's say, to the base of Mikdash, sometimes the karban will be slaughtered and it'll be entirely burned on the mizbeach. For example, karban ola is something that's burned entirely on the mizbeach. Or you have karbanos that will be eaten by the kohanim who are on duty that week, or the ones handling the karban. Or sometimes you'll have kachim that are eaten specifically by the bialim, by the people who bring the karban. So there's a difference. We know that some kinds of kachim are, we know that there's two major categories. There's either kachim kachim or kachim kalim. Kachim kachim are the supreme, supremely kadosh kinds of kachim. They have more stringencies as opposed to kachim kalim, which is a more lenient kind of kachim. For example, a major distinction between kachim kachim and kachim kalim is kachim kachim can be slaughtered only in a very specific part of the base of Mikdash. It has sometimes less time to be able to eat the carbon. We know that where you eat the karban, if it's supposed to be eaten, sometimes it can only be eaten in the azar, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to kachem kalim, for example, kachem kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. It doesn't have to be shechted in one specific spot in the azar. It can be shechted really anywhere in the azar. Okay, but why are we talking about this? Because there are three... There are three categories. There's chulin, there's truma, and there's kachim. Chulin is not kadosh. It can be eaten by any Jew, whether you're in a state of tumah, whether you're in a state of tahara. Truma is the next level. That's something that's supposed to be given to the kohen. It's supposed to be eaten in a state of tahara. It's supposed to be pure. It's not supposed to be tameh. And then we have kachim. Kachim is a higher status of truma. That's stuff with even more rules. It's supposed to be eaten sometimes either only specifically in Yerushalayim or sometimes specifically in the Azara. Very limited amount of time. You have to be in a state of Tahara also, obviously. Okay, so we have these three statuses, Chulin, Truma, and Kachim. Now, why are we talking about this? So, because one of the major differences between Chulin and Truma and Kachim are going to be manifest when it comes to becoming contaminated. If you take a look at these things, Chulin, Truma, and Kachim, so Kachim is the most delicate halachically, right? It has so many rules. It has to be eaten in a very specific place. It has to be eaten in the state of Tahara. You have a very limited amount of time to eat it. Truma is less delicate in halacha. You have more time to eat it, obviously. It can be eaten by the Kohen, the whole family. It doesn't have to be specifically in Yerushalayim that he eats it. And Chulin is the least delicate out of all of them. So depending on how delicate this item is in halacha, that's what dictates how susceptible it is to Tumah. So, kachim, which is the most delicate, is the most susceptible to tumah. The chulin, chuma, which is the next delicate, is the next most susceptible to tumah. And chulin, which is the least delicate, is the next level of susceptible to tumah. And we'll go through that in a second. So let's take the following case. For example, let's say you have the following story. You have Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen are sitting in a house, and they're sitting at home, and someone knocks on the door because he wants a bracha. The fellow walks in. He's Dr. Schwartz. He's the local doctor. He works in the hospital down the block. And Dr. Schwartz walks in. He gives Shalom Aleichem to Aaron HaKohen and to Moshe Rabbeinu. He sits down, and they give him a bracha. Okay. And he has, along with him, he has some sfarim that he brought along, and he says, look, I know that both of you have a bunch of little kids. I figured that they would like a nice set of Mikros Gedolos. Fine. So now, the little kids come in the room, and they thank Dr. Schwartz for the Mikros Gedolos, and they start looking at it and looking through them. Fine. Now, what happens? Shortly afterwards, Dr. Schwartz tells Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu, said, by the way, you should know I had a crazy case today in the hospital. There was a patient who came in, I'm an ER doctor, and there was a patient who came in and he had a heart attack. And I felt his pulse, and I saw he didn't have a pulse, and he just died on the spot. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen look at each other, and they are aghast, because now what does that mean? What that means is that Dr. Schwartz came into contact, direct contact, with a dead body. Now, the halacha is that a dead body has a status of an avi avos hatuma. It has the most supreme status of tuma that you could possibly have. And it's such an intense origin of tuma that when Dr. Schwartz touches that mace, Dr. Schwartz himself becomes what's called an av hatuma, also a very high status of tuma. And why is he called an avatama? Because the things that he touches are called vladatamas. They're called the children of the tuma. They're called things that become contaminated because he comes into contact with them. What kinds of things can he be metame? So Dr. Schwartz would be able to be metame people or kalim. He'd be able to touch. If he touched a person, that person would become tame. If he touched kalim, utensils, or articles of clothing, those things would become tame. What level of tuma, though? Well, the mace is considered to be in Avi Avos HaTuma, the most supreme, the father of fathers of Tuma. Then we have Dr. Schwartz, who touched the mace. Well, he's in Avatuma. And now, if he were to touch a person, that person becomes a Rishon Latuma. Or if he touches a Keli, that Keli becomes a Rishon Latuma. So what that means is then, when Dr. Schwartz walked in from the hospital, and he shook Moshe Rabbeinu's hand and Aaron HaKohen's hand, that means that now Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen are Tame. What's their status of Tuma? They are Tumas Rishon. Now, we know that Dr. Schwartz also brought along Sfarim. Those Sfarim that he brought along for the kids, they also have a status of a Rishon LaTuma. So now, Dr. Schwartz leaves, he goes home, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen sit down for dinner together. And they're potlucking together, and Aaron HaKohen has brought along some chuma and some kachin that he received that day. So Aaron HaKohen there's a farmer down the block who brings cucumber chuma every now and then, and Aaron HaKohen's wife made pickles out of the cucumbers. He also, somebody had a carbon that day, and so Aaron HaKohen got a package of kachim. He got a package of meat, which his wife made hamburgers from. Fine. So now, at the same time, Moshe Rabbeinu brings along some bread that he has. Now, the bread that he has is nothing special. It's regular chulin bread. Okay. Now, they sit down to eat. And what happens is, Aaron HaKohen's wife puts down the food onto the table, and she gives each of them a slice of bread. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron both touch that bread, which means that when they touch it, what's the status of the bread? The status of the bread is, well, now, let's do the math. Dr. Schwartz touched the mace in the hospital. That mace has the status of an avi avos hatuma. That means that Dr. Schwartz is an av hatuma. Now, when Dr. Schwartz shook hands with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, they became a rishon latuma. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were to touch chulin, the bread that Moshe Rabbeinu supplies is chulin bread, so that chulin bread becomes a sheni latuma. Okay, now, if Aaron HaKohen's wife takes out some pickles, some of the chuma pickles, and puts it onto the piece of bread, so the pickles, which are chuma, they touch to the bread, the pickles themselves become Tamei. Well, what tumah do they become? Well, the chulin, the bread, was sheni because it was touched by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, who are rishons. So the bread is a sheni. Now that the bread that's chulin touches the chumah pickles become a shlishi l'tumah. Now, afterwards, she takes out a hamburger and puts a hamburger on top of the pickles of each person's Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen's plate. When they put the hamburger down on top of the pickles, the hamburger is kachim, so the kachim now has touched chuma, but the chuma was a shlishi l'tuma because the chuma had touched the chulin, and the chulin was a sheni l'tuma because the chulin had touched Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. So now that kachim, that hamburger that touches the truma, becomes a revi'i l'tuma. So just to put it all together, what this means is that we start off with the mace. The mace is an avi avos hatuma. When a person touches the mace, they become an av hatuma. Now that that person, Dr. Schwartz, who is an av hatuma, shakes hands with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, they become a rishon l'tuma. When a rishon l'tuma, such as Aaron HaKohen or Moshe Rabbeinu, touch a piece of chulin, the bread in this case, the chulin becomes tame. What's its status? It becomes a sheni. Now, what can chulin be metame? Chulin cannot be metame other chulin, but chulin can be metame chumar kachim. So when that chulin bread touches the pickles that Aaron HaKohen's wife puts down onto that bread, the pickles become a shlishi l'tuma. That's because it's chuma. Now, if that chuma in turn, cannot be metame other chuma, but it can be metame kachim. So when I have a hamburger that's kachim, that's put on top of those pickles, the hamburger becomes tame and its status is a revi'i. Okay, that's how it works. Okay, what does this have to do with Hidayim? So here's where it gets a little bit interesting. The way for when Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu shake hands with Dr. Schwartz, what status of tumah are they? Well, they only touched Dr. Schwartz with their hand, so maybe only their hands become tumah. But the answer is no. And when we're dealing with tumah on the level of deraisa, which is what we've been talking about until now, tumah on the level of deraisa doesn't work that way. If Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu shook hands with Dr. Schwartz, even though Dr. Schwartz only touched their hands, they become entirely tumah. Their entire bodies become tumah. However, Chazal came along and Chazal said, well, actually, there are four ways, basically, by the time Chazal were done, for hands to become tumah on a drabanan level. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. So, the halacha is, Chazal were gozer, that when a person touches a rishon l'tuma, their hands become tumah. That's the halacha. When a person touches a rishon l'tuma, their hands become tummy. What status tuma does there have? Well, first of all, the tuma that we're talking about is obviously tuma drabanan, because when a person touches rishon l'tuma, the person doesn't become tummy, right? Rishon l'tuma cannot be metame people. A rishon l'tuma can be metame chulin, but a rishon l'tuma cannot be metame people. And so therefore, if there's a rishon l'tuma that touches someone's hands, that the hands become a sheni l'tuma. Okay, now what can a sheni l'tuma be metame? Well, Shein L'tuma cannot be metame chulin, Shein L'tuma can be metame chuma or kachim. So now, what this means then is, when Dr. Schwartz walked in with the sfarim that he was holding and touching, and he hands that over to Aaron HaKohen's kids, or Moshe Rabbeinu's kids, and they take the sfarim, are the sfarim tame or not? Well, Aaron HaKohen's Dr. Schwartz was an avatuma. He touched a keli. The sefer is a keli. It's an article. He touches the sfarim. The sfarim become, they become a rishon l'tuma. So now that Aaron HaKohen's children touch those sfarim, they are touching a sefer that is a rishon l'tuma, which means that they are now, their hands become sheni l'tuma. Fine. That's the first kind of tuma drabanan and hands, is when your hands touch a rishon l'tuma. There's another kind of tuma that apply to the hands, and that is if your hands touch a sefer Torah. Chazal did not want people touching a sefer Torah with their bare hands, and therefore Chazal said, we are declaring that if a person touches a sefer Torah with their bare hands, they become tummy. Their hands become tummy. What kind of tuma? Tuma sheni, again. Okay, that's another kind. There's a third kind. That is a general tuma on Kisvei HaKodesh. Chazal came along, they said, there are 24 sefer Tanakh. We know that it's the Chamishu Chumshi Torah, the Eight Nevi'im, then we have the Eight Sefer Nevi'im, and then we have 11 Sefer Ksuvim. So if you were to touch any one of those Chavdal Sefer Tanakh, so Chazal were nervous. Chazal were nervous that people used to store Truma together with Kisvei HaKodesh. And because of that, they assumed that the Truma is Kodesh, the Kitzvei HaKodesh, Ar Kodesh, and so they would store them together. The problem is that when they would store them together, mice would get in, they would eat up the chuma, and once they were in there, they would nibble away at the Kitzvei HaKodesh as well. So they didn't want it. So therefore Chazal said, look, Kitzvei HaKodesh are metame chuma. But to reinforce that, they came along later and they said, actually, it's not just Chuma that Kisvei HaKodesh are Metame. Kisvei HaKodesh are also Metame your hands. What kind of Tuma are they Metame your hands with? Your hands become a Sheni Latuma. Okay, that's the third kind. The fourth kind, and this is the one that's most relevant for what we're going to be discussing for now, is Stam Yadayim. Chazal were nervous that they wanted Kohanim to be handling Chuma and Kachim with perfectly clean hands. And so therefore, in order to necessitate Kohanim to wash their hands, so they said, look, your hands are automatically always considered to be tame. What kind of tame? What kind of tuma? Tumas sheni. That your hands have the status of tuma sheni. And that way, before they handle chuma, before they handle kachem, they will always make sure to wash their hands so that their hands are perfectly clean before they handle chuma and kachem. But then later, Chazal extended that and said, look, we're going to drive home the point even more, we can reinforce it even more, and what they did is they said, this includes chulin. In other words, before you eat chulin, you have to wash your hands. Now, it wasn't all chulin, though. They said, we're going to make tuma, we're going to declare tuma for on your hands with respect to chulin that's a staple in your diet. What's chulin that's a staple in your diet? Bread. So Chazal said, if you're going to eat chulin, if bread, then your hands are going to be considered to be tame, and therefore tumas sheni, and you have to wash them before you eat that chulin bread. Okay, so now we understand there are four kinds of tumas that apply to your hands. There is, if your hands touch a rishon latuma, for example, Aaron Cohen's kids, when they touch the svarim that Dr. Schwartz brings in, so now their hands become tame with a tumas sheni, which, and that tuma is only on a level drabanan. But either way, because their hands are tame tumas sheni, what are the impacts? What's the effects of their hands? Well, if they would touch chuma, the chuma becomes tame. So if they touch the pickles that were on the table, that those chuma pickles, the chuma pickles would become tummy. Similarly, if they would touch the kachim, if they would touch the hamburgers, the kachim hamburgers would also become tummy. Fine. Then we have a Sefer Torah. If your hands touch the Sefer Torah, your hands are tummy. If your hands touch Kisvei HaKodesh, your hands are tummy. And then finally, we have Stam Yadayim. Hands in general, Chazal said, hands in general are always going to be considered tummy. It started with the Kohanim to make sure that their hands are always clean when they handle kachim and chuma, and then we extended it to chulin as well, that we would just want people in general to always be careful, and so before anyone eats chulin, and it was specifically chulin bread, you have to wash your hands because we consider your hands to be tame. Okay, now, what can your hands be metame? So this is what we discussed, that your hands can be metame chuma or kachim. Can your hands be metame chulin? The answer is no, with one exception though. Generally, your hands cannot be metame chulin. Your hands can only be metame kachin or chuma. However, there's one kind of chulin that your hands can be metame. What kind of chulin is that? Liquids. And there are seven specific liquids that your hands can be metame. It's called yad, shachad, dam. That's the way that you remember it is yod, dalet, shin, ches, tes, dam, dalet, men. The way that you remember that is that's the yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, mayim. In other words, wine, blood, oil, which is olive oil, milk, dew, honey, which is bee's honey, or water. So any one of these seven liquids, if you touch them with your hands when they are tame, with the status of tumas sheni, those liquids become tame. So therefore, if you have wet foods that are wet, they came into contact with any one of the zayin mashkin, when you touch that liquid, the liquid, now interestingly, here's the tricky part, the second major exception. Normally, hands that have a status of tumas sheni cannot be metame chulin. But, exception number one, they can be metame chulin, that when the chulin is a liquid, one of the seven liquids. And secondly, the liquid becomes, not a shlishi, the liquid actually gets bumped up to a rishon. The liquid is considered to be tumas rishon, at least on the level derbana. And so therefore, if you have wet foods that you touch with your hands when they're tame, tumas sheni, so the liquid is tame, with the liquid is now, what status is it? It's tumas rishon, which means that if that liquid is touching to that food, the food becomes a sheni. Okay, similarly, by the way, the other major area where this comes up is when you wash your hands. When we talk about washing hands, we're not talking about the washing your hands that you do in the morning when you wake up. That's something totally different. Right now we're talking about is the washing of your hands that you do before you eat food. So now, we know the Chazal tells us to wash our hands twice. Well, one of the reasons, the major reason, is that when you wash your hands once, What happens to the water? Well, the water came into contact with your hands. Your hands have a general stam yadayim tumah. The stam yadayim tumah is your hands have a status of a sheni l'tumah, which means that the water is now tummy. What status is the water? The water is considered a rishon l'tumah. Well, now this water is going to be floating around, so therefore what we do is we are matar the water by telling you, rinse your hands a second time. Pour water over the first waters that you had on your hands, and that will be matar that. Okay. Either way, that's the basic background. So we're going to discuss in this Masechta how exactly you do Netilas Yadayim, how much of the hand you have to wash, how much water do you have to use, what kind of water do you have to use, when you use a kli, what kind of kli, how big of a kli do you have to use, when we're going to talk about how you pour the water onto your hands, that you have to use Koach HaAdam. We'll talk about these two rinsings that you do for Netilas Yadayim. Okay, but that's the basic background that's going to be needed for the Masechta.